Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Before I get started, I'd just like to thank all the brothers and sisters who really put a lot of time and effort into this gathering. It's really a blessing that we can come up out of the world with those of like precious faith. I've been given the opportunity to give the opening remarks on the book of Obadiah. The Bible doesn't give us much information about the prophet Obadiah himself. I have been given reason to believe that it was written sometime between the destruction of Judah and the destruction of Babylon. The book itself only consists of one chapter. Beside this book, there are 12 other people in the Old Testament with the name Obadiah. Although there are... Although there are 12 other people in the Old Testament with the same name, such as the prophet in the time of Elijah, this particular prophet is not spoken of anywhere else. Obadiah's name means servant of Yahweh or serving Yah. It is hard to tell much of Obadiah's character other than this prophecy. Being an obedient servant of Yahweh, Obadiah would not have been the type who could be bought by money or worldly lusts. He was a prophet of God. His service to the Lord was not an unwilling or forced service, such as slavery, or a servant who seeks to be paid or to receive wages, or even a forced prophecy or an unwilling prophecy, such as that as Jonas that Brother Gary spoke of earlier. Obadiah means a servant of the Lord, a humble servant who seeks to do the Lord's will. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20 states, "For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We all know that that price was the blood of the Lamb, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The book of Obadiah comes to us as a vision. There's a transition from the first verse into the second as to how this vision is being presented. The vision starts with a scene. The Elohim are talking amongst each other, saying, "We have heard a rumor from Yahweh, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle." Then to a voice speaking, "Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised." From the first verse into the second, we can feel the vision change from a strong third-person point of view to a direct narration from Yahweh toward Obadiah, or us, the readers. I am unsure whether this message is being spoken by an angel of the Lord or by God himself, but it is safe to say that this is a message of Yahweh to the heathen. Obadiah is a prophecy against Edom. First of all, who is Edom? We know of the two brothers, Jacob and Esau. Jacob, or Israel, is the father of the Israelites, and Esau, the father of the Edomites. So that would make the Israelites brothers to Edom. Deuteronomy 23, verse 7 states, "Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, for thou wast a stranger in his land." Yahweh's anger has been kindled against the Edomites, and we can see why. The children of Edom had rejoiced in the destruction of Judah, Yahweh's people, and their brothers. Psalms 137 shows us how joyful and supportive the Edomites were of the desolation of Judah. "Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof." Edom had taken of the spoil of Jerusalem, and even prevented the escape of those who had successfully fled from the Babylonians. Verse 12 through 14 tells us of their grave mistake. "But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger, neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress." We know that Yahweh punishes the nations and empires that have gone up against his people. Verse 2 says, "I have made thee small among the heathen, thou art greatly despised." Yahweh has made Edom despised by the surrounding nations. Just like Israel and Judah, he will punish the wicked with the surrounding people and other nations. Edom had become very proud and arrogant. They were putting themselves high as eagles and exalting themselves. I believe Brother Dave Somerville used that verse last night. They'd become so prideful and boisterous to the point of saying, in verse 3, "Who shall bring me down to the ground?" Ezekiel 25:12 and 13 states, "Thus saith the Lord God, because that Edom hath dealt against the house of Judah by taking vengeance, and hath greatly offended, and revenged himself upon them, I will also stretch out mine hand upon Edom, and will cut off man and beast from it, and I will make it desolate from Teman, and they of Dedan shall fall by the sword." Notice that Teman is mentioned in both Obadiah and Ezekiel. Teman is a town and district of Edom that was named after Esau's grandson, who is mentioned in Genesis 36, verse 15. Dedan is only mentioned in Ezekiel and Jeremiah. Who Dedan is, I am unsure of. From what I found out, they seem to be possibly a mixed race related to the surrounding nations. They must be related to the Edomites as well, seeing they are to be included in their destruction. Perhaps one of the other brothers could elaborate on Dedan. Obadiah is not the only book with a prophecy against the land of Edom. Jeremiah also prophesies against Edom. If we turn to Jeremiah 49, starting at verse 14, the words are almost exactly identical. "I have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent unto the heathen, saying, Gather ye together, and come against her, and rise up to battle. For lo, I will make thee small among the heathen, and despised among men. Thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart, O that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill. Though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. Also Edom shall be a desolation. Every one that goeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss at the plagues thereof." This prophecy continues all the way to verse 22. It is amazing how close these words are to those of Obadiah's. We can definitely see Yahweh's hand in the prophecies concerning Edom. With the help of another brother, I picked out a passage from Eureka, written by Brother Thomas. It gives us an idea of what will become of Edom at the time of the end. It says, "Edom, and the prophecies concerning the restoration of Israel's kingdom in the latter days, is representative of the enemies of Jacob, banded together under the guardianship of Gog, who is then the chief of the house of Esau." Obadiah had a vision of this confederacy, occupying a similar relationship to Israel hereafter. Obadiah has placed on record the sentence that every one of the Mount of Esau, shall be cut off by slaughter forever, and shame shall cover them because of their violence against Jacob. That is, Edom has drunk upon Jehovah's holy mountain, where also they revel to this day. So shall all the nations drink, and they shall be as though they had not been. For that upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and it shall be holy. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, or as Paul styles it in 2 Thessalonians 1:8, a fire of flame. And the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau. And that at that time appointed for this, deliverers shall come up on the Mount Zion to judge Mount Esau, and the kingdom thus obtained shall be Jehovah's. Even today, Israel suffers from surrounding nations. Brothers have already spoken of their public humility by today's news, shows, and various articles. All these nations and those who are against Israel will have their reward. Christ will return and rise up against the enemies of Yahweh's people. Verse 15 says, "For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head." Before I leave, I have a question for discussion that popped into my head while writing this talk. We know that in Deuteronomy it says that all the Israelites shall not abhor their brothers of Edom. If this is the case, then why do we find in various places of the Bible, such as in 1 Kings, where it says that Joab, the captain of the host, was gone to bury the slain after he had smitten every male in Edom? I looked up the word abhor, and it means to neglect, hate, reject, and abominate. I believe that this time would have been before this prophecy took place. So then, why did Israel go up against their brothers of Edom? I look forward to hearing an answer, as well as discussion and comments from other brothers. Thank you.